Let us pray. God of good news, there is reading your word, there is hearing your word, and then there is tunneling ourselves into your word, harvesting your word, building a home in your word, laying your word over us like a blanket, wrapping ourselves in your word, knowing your word like the back of our hand, singing your word, planting ourselves like a garden in your word. God, we could listen to scripture like we listen to the news, or we could cocoon ourselves in your word and it could change us entirely. So bundle us up, give us the latter. We want to know you. With hopeful hearts, we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament scripture reading today, I believe, is one of, if not the longest readings in our lectionary. And I did wrestle with it, trying to cut it down. And the more I did so, the more I kept thinking, nope, I think we gotta read the whole thing. So, bear with me. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am he." But they kept asking him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, I now see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Who are you? Who are you or do you relate to in the story we just heard? So many characters, so many groups of people, all struggling to understand and gain clarity of what's happening around them. Are you like the Jewish leaders? Unsatisfied with the man's answers, so they go to the parents seeking an origin story that hopefully, in their mind, discredits any miracle performed. Are you like the Pharisees? Investigating while looking for evidence that backs up your own worldview, asking the same questions over and over, expecting a different answer so that the status quo can remain. Are you like the parents? Staying silent for fear of being cast out of your community. Are you like the man born blind, who is sinned and who doesn't have all the answers but spiritually seeks them out with curiosity and shares his story with the world? Are you like the disciples, who first thing upon realizing the man was there asked Jesus, "Who sinned?" Seeing not the person or the image of God in the man, but only seeing what was different. Do you relate to Jesus? Actively seeking out those who are outcast, seeing the glory of God through them and inviting them into your flock for community and protection. Who are you? Who do you wish to be? Are they the same? Rather than focusing on the act of healing itself this morning, I want to drill down into the who and the what is being seen or not seen in our story. So let's start broadly with the crowd, the onlookers, the neighbors, the Pharisees, the disciples. They don't see the man. Not really. They saw what makes the man different. They saw what makes the man an outcast, labeling him as a beggar. And they begin to seek clarity about the world and what has happened, asking all sorts of questions. Who sinned? Whose fault is this? It's not really him, is it? He wasn't really blind from birth, was he? None of these questions get to the point. And none of them seem to be asked with empathy or compassion. Rather, these questions are full of confirmation bias, seeking the answers they want to hear rather than seeking truth. And when they don't get the answers they want, it divides them. They ignore them. Yes, these are questions aimed at understanding the world. But they are also questions with incredibly harmful assumptions. Questions that ignore the person in front of them, ignore the man's humanity, and perhaps even use the man in an attempt to get at Jesus. Instead of trying to diagnose the situation, what would the story have been like if they asked instead, "How can I love this neighbor I see before me? What opportunities are there to engage in the mighty work of God, embracing diversity and living in service to one another?" It's a good reminder for us to always check our assumptions. Before we jump into diagnosing something, we don't know the depth of a problem, or even if there is a problem at all, or whether our assumptions and intent are leading us down a harmful path. It wasn't just the man they failed to see. It was also Jesus. The light of the world was literally right in front of them, carrying out God's work, and they did not see him. Not truly. They did not see him. They did not know him. Many of them actively chose not to. Their inquiries were not really to gain more knowledge about Jesus. They were driven out of fear, a desire to remain in the status quo. It seemed so hard for them to believe in miracles, believe truly in the Son of God, because they were so wrapped up in seeking a reason, a logical explanation, playing a blame game. They claimed to see, but they didn't see deep enough. They didn't see the light of God shining in the world. One can assume they wanted to see, they wanted to believe, but it appears only on their own terms. And yet, God's actions are not dependent on us knowing, on us believing. God knows us, God loves us. And God is always seeking us out, whether we are firmly rooted in a community or whether we have been driven out. And that leads me to the man who was born blind. The mighty works of God we see in this story reveals a deep spiritual seeing. An experience of the light of the world that goes way beyond the physical. An experience of trust, growth, and relationship. Not only does the man just start off the story only hearing Jesus and then later seeing, he went from not knowing Jesus but by only a name, to believing Jesus was from God, to calling Jesus Lord and worshiping him. What an incredible journey of spiritual transformation. Not only does he end the story believing with a continuing, developing knowing of Jesus, but he tells his truth and is cast out for it. But Jesus, the good shepherd, goes and seeks him out so that he knows he is not alone. Jesus embraces the man into his flock, into a loving, compassionate relationship. And in this relationship, Jesus is giving us an example of just what kind of marvelous and mighty works we can see through others. Not a physical healing, not a surface level alteration, but true transformation. A true seeing of others, loving and serving them, walking with them and allowing them space to share their truth and their story with others. Really seeing the image of God in every other human, not just as an object to diagnose or to make an example out of or to ignore because they are not in your circle or not deemed worthy. The world has a lot of gatekeepers, a lot of problem solvers, a lot of people in search of meaning and reason for things that they don't always have an obvious answer for. And seeking is a good and beautiful thing. And it requires great care not to make assumptions and let the answer we seek take priority over the people, the children of God who are seeking with us. Following in Jesus' footsteps is not supposed to be easy. It may make you uncomfortable. It may make you question your long-held assumptions. It may put you in relationships with those that you find difficult to love. It may call you away from relationships that you do love. It may call you to see things you don't want to see. But through all of that, God's light does indeed shine in the world, inviting us into relationship with God and one another, such that we truly see, we truly know one another, not with our eyes or our ears, but with our hearts, with our deep compassion for one another. A quick side note for those who may or may not want to peek into worship planning. An obvious choice of hymn for this morning would have been Amazing Grace, which literally quotes from this text, "I was blind and now I see." But I couldn't get over "Be Thou My Vision." Yes, it is an Irish hymn, and yes, Tuesday is St. Patrick's Day. But I couldn't get it out of my head because it just seemed to fit. Be thou my vision. Be in our vision. Let us see you, God. Let us see your light in everything and everyone we encounter. Let us see creation through your eyes. Let us love as you love, seeing with our heart, rather than relying on our own assumptions and judgments we make with our eyes. Whatever befall, let our hearts be aligned with yours, O God, waking or sleeping, day or night, with our whole selves of all different shapes, sizes, abilities, gifts, and colors. A dear friend of mine, Gary Harmon, was born with physical differences and has become an advocate for those in similar circumstances. And he has a phrase I think fits right into today's text. The phrase is, "Love before you look." Love before you look. For when you love first, you see each person as a beloved child of God. And then the rest, the service, the companionship, the community will follow. See, experience, and know the light and love of God, and reflect it out into the world. Being open to the unexpected miracles you encounter, whether you have all the answers or not. May it be so. Amen.